Stop blaming it on holiday stress. We all know it's that time of year when everything feels drained, both your wallet and you. Well, the real problem is right under you. It's that saggy, old, unsupportive mattress. Well, say hello to Ghostbed. Ghostbed is family-run, consumer-loving, with over 20 years of mattress-making mastery. They've engineered the perfect sleep weapon. Durable, insanely comfortable, and cool enough to keep you chill all night long. Every Ghostbed packs their exclusive ProCore technology, a powerhouse support system that cradles your back, supports, and aligns your spine. Translation? You wake up feeling like a human again. Hot sleeper? Ghostbed's cooling materials fight heat 24/7, so you don't wake up sweaty, even when the thermostat that's cranked up. And here's the kicker. Fast, free shipping in just 2 to 5 days. A 101-night sleep trial. And up to a 25-year warranty. That's confidence. Right now, Ghostbed is slashing prices. Up to 50% off compared to other brands. And because you're listening, you score an extra 10% off site-wide. Just use promo code PODCAST at checkout. That's PODCAST for 10% off on top of already insane deals. Upgrade your sleep. Upgrade your life. Ghostbed. The coolest beds in the world.
Houston, standing by, over.
Jeremy and Joe starts now.
On ESPN 97.5 and 97.9 HD2.
Live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Jeremy Branham and Joe George.
He's Joe, I'm Jeremy. It is Jeremy and Joe. Hello, Houston. Lots to get to today. Winter meetings start today. Dana Brown and Joe Espada will be talking to the media a little bit later. College football drama. Little drama in college football featuring the Fighting Irish. I'm sure Joe has a certain feeling about that. Get to the top stuff in the NFL, and we'll talk some Houston Texans as well. I got a bone to pick with the Texans PR. I went to the D'Amico Ryans press conference in Zoom, and they left me in the meeting room. They didn't allow me in.
They left you on red.
They left me in the meeting room. It said, like, host will allow you whenever they're ready or whatever. In fact, I have a picture of it. I took a picture of it and sent it to you guys. Like, these guys aren't letting me in, is what I said. Yeah, they didn't let me in the Zoom. What's up with that?
They must hear your commentary and be like, we can't let this guy in here.
Hosts join. We've let them know you're here. And like,
He's not going to bring us cookies.
I wasn't even going to ask questions.
You just wanted to listen?
Yeah, I wanted to because they have a habit of not posting their Zooms on their YouTubes. So I was like, the only way I'm going to have to listen to this is if I log into the Zoom and listen. I wasn't even going to ask a single question, and they left me in the waiting room. Unbelievable.
They're like, we don't want this Jeremy Branham character.
And I was going to say good things about the Texans today, too. Now, I don't know if I will.
Mm.
All the
negatives happening right now?
I'm petty. I hold a grudge. They left me in the waiting room. Now, I really don't care that much, but I am sad that I'm not going to be able to listen to the press conference. I'm not going to know what was said. Anyways, Texans win a football game yesterday. Good win. Look, like, I'm not going to complain about a victory at Arrowhead Stadium against the Kansas City Chiefs, a team that's coached by Andy Reid and is quarterbacked by Pat Mahomes. Like, oh, it's an ugly win. No, there's no such thing as an ugly win at Arrowhead. There's no such thing as an ugly win against Pat Mahomes and Andy Reid. There might not be a such thing as an ugly win, period, in the NFL. Was everything perfect? No. And, of course, we'll talk about that. But this was a massive victory for the Houston Texans. It puts them in the playoffs. Their percentages are very good. Like, this was a huge win last night, and there's no other way to put it.
There's a massive win.
Massive win.
Are people complaining?
No, I wouldn't say complaining, but a lot of people said that it's like, you know, it's an ugly victory.
Whatever.
I don't believe in that.
You essentially helped end the Chiefs' run. Like, they need a miracle to make the playoffs now at this point. They have to go on a run and do something they haven't done all season, and you're the reason for it. The best defense in the NFL is the reason for it. There's no complaints. You're right. There are things that can be cleaned up. There are things we'll discuss on the show today and
tomorrow.
Always
is.
But, like, they beat the Chiefs, something they haven't been able to do. There's nothing to complain about. It's a great day.
Oh, there's plenty to complain about.
But, like, as a.
But,
like,
I'm not calling it an ugly win. Yes. It was a pretty win. Any win's pretty in Arrowhead.
Yeah, it doesn't matter.
I don't care how you do it. You come home with a victory.
A win is a win.
You feel great.
Yes, you feel. You are 8-5 and in the playoffs.
You're top 17. Now, the chances of winning the division might have gone down because of Daniel Jones rupturing his Achilles. We'll get to that a little bit later. Like, it's going to be tough to catch Jacksonville now. Mm-hmm. You probably have to win out, and you'll need Jacksonville to lose at Denver because their schedule is relatively easy.
It is. Now, I don't trust them, so anything can happen. But because of how you started the season, you've put yourself in the spot, but you're now in a position to where you've got, with Daniel Jones going down and the fact that the Ravens, Chiefs, and Dolphins are all at 6-7, you fully control your destiny.
Yeah.
Riley Leonard, who's also hurt
for
the Colts, is not going to make the playoffs. The Houston Texans are going to be a playoff team, and it's because of last night's game.
What's the deal with Anthony Richardson? What's the latest on him?
He tweeted a gift today that made it sound like maybe he's coming back.
They need him.
Yeah, they desperately need him.
They need Richardson.
They're screwed.
Like, that's a bad spot to be in. Like, I would hate to be the team that desperately needs Anthony Richardson to play, but it's the spot that the Colts are in. But yeah, statement victory, I thought, yesterday for the Texans. Puts them in a good spot with four games left to make the playoffs. I think the question's just how big a win. Stressens, your boy, he was kicking around the idea before the game that if the Texans go into Arrowhead, it'd be the greatest win in franchise history. Come on. Like, that's a bit hyperbolic. No one believes that the win yesterday was the biggest win in franchise history. If you believe that, you are living far too much in the moment, and you're completely ignoring every playoff victory in the history of the franchise. I wouldn't trade a... And I know the Texans have never been to an AFC championship game. I wouldn't trade any single playoff win for a win yesterday.
No, it's not even one of your... I mean, it's probably in your top 10 wins in regular season history, I would guess, if we really went through it, but... It's not even bigger than the win that put them in the playoffs against the Colts 2 years ago.
No.
It's not even bigger than that game.
No, I think biggest win, all this stuff's arbitrary, and I think it's very prisoner of the moment, all of that. But would you go as far to say it was a statement victory?
It is a statement
victory. For the Houston Texans?
Yes, because even though the Chiefs are not who they had been, it feels so Texans to lose that game yesterday, to go in there and let Mahomes cook for the first time this season, for your defense to have a bad performance, for your offense to not be good. And that didn't happen. You got the win. It is a statement victory. You've proved at the beginning of the season that your defense can overcome that bad start. They can overcome your offense, and they can be the best defense in the NFL. It's absolutely a statement victory.
Does it show that the Texans' start of the year might have been a little bit exaggerated? That maybe it was, and it was 0-3. But it might not have been as bad as an 0-3 start.
Yeah, I think it. Well, I don't think this team's that different from the start of the season.
No,
honestly, it's really, what's the difference between last night's game and the Rams game?
Maybe the offense is a little better.
Like is it? But like, what if Dara doesn't?
Yeah,
fumble?
I think it's better.
Like, if Dara doesn't fumble in that game, like, do they just win that game? If Nico doesn't fumble in Week 3, do they just win that game?
Probably
against Jacksonville. And like, your defense has been dominating people all year. You just started the season 0-3. Every loss you've had this year, now that you're at this point at 8-5, now I think it's fair to say every loss has been by 8 points or less.
Yeah, the Seattle game was a little misleading, though.
Yeah,
you got hammered
right
in that game.
That's
the only game where you got, you know, your brakes beat off.
But the other four, like, you can look at it now and be like, if you just got what you had from your offense in yesterday's game, you'll probably win at least one of those, if not two of them.
So are they better than we think they are?
I don't think I think last week when people were saying they're the most dangerous team in the AFC or the team that no one wants to face, I thought it was a little hyperbolic.
Well, I don't.
I'm in on it now.
Yeah, I didn't think it was hyperbolic. Yeah, like, I wouldn't want to face this defense.
Yeah, it's the best defense in the NFL. And frankly, I think it's the best defense we've seen in the NFL in a couple of years.
Yeah, I would have to go look case by case. Like, I don't know enough about 2-3 years ago, the top defense in the NFL. This defense is really, really good.
They're allowing the least amount of points per game since the 2019 Patriots, with 16 points per game.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, but the mounds are higher now, so it helps defenses.
I guess.
It's run prevention.
I guess so.
That's an impressive number. That's why. Oh, yeah, AJ's here behind the glass, by the way.
All week.
Yeah, no Brian this week. Brian has more. Like, Brian has the PTO of like a seasoned 50-year employee.
To be fair, he's working.
Yeah, you ruined the bit there, Joe.
Oh, well, I didn't know if you knew that.
I love it whenever my co-host ruined the bit. Yeah, I literally recorded a commercial with him.
I wasn't in there.
I walked by you en route to see Brian filling in for Michael Carroll doing all the commercial work.
I wouldn't know that because you didn't say hello to me.
You
treated me like the Houston Texans treated you.
I actually
just walked by
that's,
me.
That's not true. I said hello.
To Esme?
No, I said it to you.
Oh, I guess I treated you like the Houston Texans.
Yeah, you big leagued me.
Yeah, sorry.
No, I'm not much of a chit chatter, especially before a show, but I do say hi. I do say hello, or like, what's up, boys? Or like, hey, what's happening? Hey, keeping it fresh? You know, stuff like that. I say that kind of stuff.
Yeah, keeping it fresh.
Yeah. But AJ will be here all week, and AJ providing more nuggets than Brian has provided in the last month and a half. Very good stuff, AJ. Great to have, even though you're a Cowboy fan. We won't hold that against you. Would you still want them to sign George Pickens, by the way?
What's the alternate option?
Anything else?
No.
Yeah, you go ahead and pick, after, give George Pickens a 4-year contract, and let's see how many games he mails it in after that.
After one bad, everyone was waiting for him to have that one.
That's
bad
not
game.
One bad game.
What do you mean?
Pittsburgh ran him out of town because they were tired of his
season.
Antics.
Talk about this season.
Yeah, because he's on his best behavior in a contract year. He gets a 4-year contract back to Pittsburgh Pickens.
We'll see, man.
Anyways, the defense yesterday was unbelievable. Some of the superlatives against Mahomes. This was the fewest amount of points that the Chiefs have scored at Arrowhead Stadium that any game that Mahomes has started. And I believe I read that this is the worst rated game that Pat Mahomes has ever had in his career, too.
Yeah, it's the Greg Allman tweeted this out yesterday from Fox. It's the first game in which I think this ended up correctly. Yeah. Did Mahomes throw a passing touchdown yesterday? No, he didn't.
No, their only touchdown was the one that Kareem Hunt powered into the end zone.
First game for Patrick Mahomes with zero passing touchdowns, multiple interceptions, and less than 50% completion percentage in his entire career. First game ever. They dominated him last night. And we know the Chiefs offense hasn't been great this year, but they've had moments where it's looked better, but they bullied him for four quarters.
Yeah.
The only thing he could do was run.
Yeah, you know, I still think he's unbelievable.
Absolutely.
Like the Texans played so good defensively yesterday, and I watched the game back today. I'm like, Pat Mahomes is so stinking good. Because if he wasn't Pat Mahomes, the Chiefs get like shut out and have like 120 yards offensively yesterday. But what he does is incredible. Like his ability, his feel for the game is next level. His know-how is next level. He had one play where like he should have been sacked, where he pump fakes Danielle Hunter into the air. Like, sidesteps to his right to elude Danielle Hunter. And I don't know who the linebacker was. Might have been Aziz. He pumps again, gets Aziz in the air, and then runs for the first down.
Yeah.
It's like, the dude is unbelievable. I mean, He's so good. Even though he had his worst game of his career, more of a testament to the Houston Texans defense, IMO. Even the three interceptions. Like, one was it was a third and long. He's heaving it downfield. It was an arm punt. The other one, Jalen Petrie, tipped it up high into the air, made an unbelievable play. The one to Kelce was a bit behind Travis Kelce. But should have been caught.
Yeah, but every year until this year, maybe last year, Travis Kelce catches that thing.
He's washed. You know, yeah, I don't disagree. I think that the Kansas City Chiefs missing the playoffs might not be a bad thing long term for their organization, because it allows them to push like a pretty hard reset, reload for the second phase of Pat Mahomes' career, mm-hmm. which I think it's about time. Like, if you're missing, like, whenever you're making deep playoff runs, you feel like you have to hold on to that core and to that foundation, you know, every single year until they don't do it. Now that they don't do it, it allows you to press fast forward on their reload, which I mean, it looks like it's going to be time.
Yeah, it's time for the Chiefs to reset, but I don't think that takes away again from what the Texans did. The coverage that we saw from this team, a secondary that's beat up, the fact that Lassiter, sorry, I mean, like, I've met this guy a ton of times. Like, I'm officially Kamari? Out forever on anything Aaron Wilson tweets about injury reports.
Oh, I know.
Because, like, he made Lassiter seem like it was the end of the world. Like, and he was out there playing.
He tweeted that he was expected to miss, right?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, he's deleted that. Because I went back and tried to find it for Bad Take Boulevard.
Yeah.
And it wasn't there.
Yeah, it was gone. Because he's wrong. And Lassiter out there.
He's been wrong three times this year.
Tough. Anyways, regardless. But he played great in the secondary.
The play he made on the ball to Thornton was, in my mind, the most underrated play that nobody's talking about. Because there's a lot of big plays. Jalen Petrie play, Dare's touchdown run. Like, I thought C.J. Stroud had a ton of great plays. Now, he had a ton of bad plays, but a ton of great plays. I thought the most underrated play that's not getting the run that it should was the Kamari Lassiter recovery to break up what would have been a go-ahead touchdown from Mahomes to Thornton. Like, that's six. That's six, and then Kansas City has the lead. Mm-hmm. Like, Kansas City never led in that game yesterday. They take the lead with a touchdown pass there. And, I mean, it's there. The play's there. It's in the hands of Thornton, but Lassiter made an incredible recovery to break it up. He's a stud. Yep. And they don't throw it to Stingley's side because he's so good.
Except on fourth down.
Yeah, they tried on fourth down because the pass rush was there, so you had, like, no choice. Like, I've seen a lot of people critiquing. And, in fact, you know, I think this is what I want to carry over to the break, because this has annoyed me a little bit, too. I get annoyed when people say ugly wins. Like, I don't believe in ugly wins. A win in the NFL is a win in the NFL. The other thing that was annoying me from yesterday's game and, like, the reaction to the game was like, oh, how did the Texans' defensive line not get to Mahomes and sack him more whenever they were about like three offensive linemen down going into the game and then four offensive linemen down after the first play of the game? That annoyed me beyond beyond all means. How did the Texans' defense not get to Mahomes more than that? So I'm gonna have a bone to pick with all those people that are saying that. Coming up next, we'll get to the offense. Is it Stroud or is it Kaylee? I think that's the conversation that we need to have. What did we think of C.J. Stroud? We'll get to that. Andy Reid may have single-handedly won the game for the Houston Texans yesterday. We'll talk about his game day management and a tip of the hat to an unsung hero in yesterday's game. We'll get to the Rockets a little bit later. We'll get to the NFL as well. College football, crazy, crazy weekend that was in college football. Anything comes up in the Astros winter meetings, we'll get to that as well. Lots of ways to watch us. You can watch us on twitch.tv/ESPN975. You can watch us on YouTube at ESPN Houston, on TikTok. I don't know why I say that like Cactus Jack. TikTok. But TikTok at ESPN975. Joe's at Joe George Radio on TikTok. I'm at Jeremy J. Branham on TikTok. And you can watch us on Twitter as well, ESPN975, with our live stream, our app, our website. Joe on Twitter is at Joe George Radio. I'm at Jeremy Branham. All you people, all you naysayers, why didn't the Texans get more sacks to Pat Mahomes? I'm going to put you in your place when we return. 713-780-3776, the HRMP listener line. It's Jeremy and Joe on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Car prices, they are out of control right now, and it's putting all of us in these 7-year loans. It's not worth it. By the time you're ready to move on, which the average person wants to get a new car every 3 to 4 years, you can't, because you got negative equity in your car and you are just stuck with that thing until your payments are finally finished. It's time to solve that problem with DNM Leasing. DNM Leasing is home of the easy lease. Right now, they're offering no payments until 2026, so get on it right now. And all you got to do is go to dmautoleasing.com or call 713-290-1000 and speak with one of their leasing agents today. They will walk you through the entire process. What's it like to get a lease? How is it different? The mileage, all of that stuff. They will walk you through all of it. If you know what kind of car you're going to get, you're going to get that thing to you within 24 to 72 hours. You can do all of it from the comfort of your own home, because all of it is going to be on a DocuSign. And when it's time, they'll even bring that car right to you, to your house, to your office, while you're there at lunch. All of it done easily at DNM Leasing. Check them out right now, dmautoleasing.com, or call 713-290-1000.
ESPN 97.5. Please stand by.
You're listening to Jeremy and Joe, live from the Huntington Bank Studios. Here's Jeremy Branham and Joe George.
I was just looking at so whenever you log on to YouTube, ESPN Houston, it brings up like top chat. You have to like click on live chat. So sometimes like whenever I pull it up, there's some previous comments from earlier shows. This one made me laugh. Walt Irving 500. John Granato is fried. The Deshaun Watson team that lost to the Chiefs in the playoffs definitely had a better offense than this current Texans team. So I guess Granato made the claim that this year's Texans team is better offensively than the Houston Texans team when they went into Arrowhead, were up 24-0 and blew the lead. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would have to disagree.
Yes.
That offense was pretty good. Like, Bill O'Brien wasn't a bad offensive coordinator or
not
offensive
all.
Play caller. He was actually pretty good.
No, he was, I mean, him and Watson and Hopkins were nasty that year.
Watson was insane that rookie year. I remember the Seattle game where he threw for like 400 yards. I might be hyperbolic, but then again, I might not be. Like, he went nuts in that game.
Yeah,
it's like Russ and Deshaun were on fire.
Yeah, so you know, this offense is nowhere near that offense.
Near that offense. Junkie says they didn't let you in because they heard a terrible show with Mark on Friday. That was great with Mark on Friday. And the Texans don't care. Show was terrible.
He didn't want none of your nonsense.
Yeah, I know.
I really didn't plan on listening on my way to LaBerge.
Why wouldn't you listen, Joe?
Well, I don't know. I thought you didn't listen when you're out, but that's been proven incorrect recently.
I don't listen if I'm going to work a show later in the day.
Yeah. I didn't realize you listen as much as you do when you're out.
I don't really.
I said something the other day and you're like, yeah, I heard you say that. I was like, oh.
I listen to you on my, it depends on my drive and if I have like nothing else to watch type of thing. But if I'm doing a show later in the day, I don't listen to sports radio because I don't want my takes influenced.
Yeah.
Rocky, don't ignore in victory, which we would not in defeat. We usually do that tomorrow, but we'll let you slide, Rocky, because we like you. Kaylee's offense still sucks. offense is stagnant. We'll get into that a little bit because it is the storyline from yesterday's game, and it has to be talked about. It can't be wait. We can't wait till tomorrow to talk about that offense, especially in the third quarter. Another junkie, is it fair to say the Texans' offense should target 20 points, and if they achieve that, they'll win the Super Bowl? I mean,
no.
I mean, I guess, like, sure, but that's not what offenses think. Like, offenses are like, hey, we're going to have the football and we're going to have a drive where we move it. And every now and then you're going to have complimentary football. Like, hey, let's bleed the clock, 4-minute offense. Hey, we need to hurry up and get into a 2-minute offense, which is atrocious for the Houston Texans.
At some point, someone's going to get your defense.
I don't know.
It's like, it can't be perfect all year. I don't think you can be. Maybe they can prove me wrong. But like, even like the Jacksonville game, like, they, you know, Jacksonville got through your defense and you had to have Davis Mills pull off an incredible fourth quarter to get the victory. Like, you're going to need your offense to step up at some point if you have Super Bowl aspirations with this team.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think if you played the Rams in the Super Bowl again, you would win a Super Bowl 15-14.
I think it's in play. Like, I think it's in play. But I just don't think that you should go about that offensively. Like, hey, we're going to get 20 points this game. No, you go in with a good plan. You make adjustments along the way. You try to move the ball every single drive and rack up as many points as you can. Like, I couldn't even imagine an offensive coordinator going into the game like, okay, we're going to score 20 today.
That's all we need,
like,
20.
What does that look like? Like, hey, we're going to score 3 touchdowns right out of the gate. Then we're going to miss the extra point on the third possession. And then we're going to stop trying. Like, that's not how they operate. Like, mm-hmm. I know big picture, we are allowed to look at it that way. Like, if they get to 20, is that enough? But as a play caller in the system, the offense, they're not like, okay, like, our goal is 20 today. No, their goal is to move the ball every single drive.
Yeah. Control the clock and score as many points as humanly possible.
Yeah.
They just don't score a lot of them, but they try.
No, they left some meat on the bone yesterday. Pretty atrocious in the third. I'll admit, I thought the Texans season was over after the 0-3 start. Yeah, I did too.
Yep.
I have no problem admitting that. I thought it was over 0-3. I thought that it was over at 2-4. I thought it was over at 3-5, and CJ Stroud out with a concussion.
Yes.
And since then, they've just rattled off 5 wins in a row.
They just keep finding a way. I mean, if you go back to 0-3, like when we discussed, like, you look at the history of the NFL, it was like 11% of teams that ever started 0-3 had made the playoffs. What the Texans are doing for now the second time in the last, what, decade now, is overcoming something that historically you don't overcome. And they're potentially what can be a wild card team for the first time in franchise history this year. It's funny. Every time I log into our YouTube account, people are commenting on a short from Lance that Sam posted after the third game of the season, which he said that the season's over.
I remember that.
And they, like, every week, it's just like Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, whatever. This aged poorly. This aged poorly. I think it's like, sorry, Lance.
Poor Lance.
He probably has no idea. But
I'm sure he knows. Yeah, I'm sure he knows. Ocho, I appreciate Larry and Stafford's passion, but this defense is not better than the 93 Oilers defense. The defense had 3 players with double-digit sacks, including Childress, Chris Jones, Marcus Robertson, Chris Dishman, Steve Jackson, Bubba McNowell on that defense. Yeah, I don't know if I want to compare the 2025 Houston Texans defense with the 1993 Houston Oilers defense. That's a weird conversation to have, I think. Game's much different. It's a different organization. Mm-hmm. It was 32 years ago.
Yeah, I was one, like, so.
Yeah. Like, I like, go at Larry and Stafford, Ocho. I'm on your side, but that's not really a conversation that I think I'm wanting to have. Letterman jacket time. You, sir, are gone. You're ejected. We're in a good mood in Houston. Things are great. We're 25 minutes into a Monday show after the Texans go into Arrowhead, beat Mahomes, beat Kansas City. They're one of the top 7 teams in the AFC. They control their own destiny. Their playoff odds are high, and you're going Letterman jacket time. You, sir, are gone. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Guess what?
What?
I saw one yesterday.
A Letterman jacket?
Yeah.
Who had a Letterman jacket?
Someone had it at LaBerge.
Really?
Someone had a Texans Letterman jacket.
I mean, for a fan, it's different.
I know, but I was like, oh, that's ironic.
Yeah, it's a little different for a fan. That's weird. I'm not sure I've ever seen one in public.
Yeah, I'd never seen one before.
Maybe some of the alumni have it.
Like, it wasn't like the one they wore, but it was very similar to it.
713-780-ESPN. You would think with how good of a defensive mind that DeMeco is, he would be able to help Kaylee with the offense. I think he's trying. He's trying to do that. All right, so some of the narratives I saw from yesterday's game. How dare the Houston Texans not get to Mahomes more? How dare they only sack him 2 times with 3 offensive linemen out, and then after the first play, 4 offensive linemen out? How could you possibly be griping about that? Kansas City had 10 points. Pat Mahomes had his lowest quarterback rating ever. They scored the fewest points they've ever scored in a Pat Mahomes started game at Arrowhead. The deep game was mostly non-existent because they had to go quick passing game. They were putting 2 tight ends weapons in the backfield to give seven men protection on the couple times that they did try to go deep. I think a big reason for the drops that Kansas City had was because the timing was messed up because Pat Mahomes was getting rid of it quickly, and those receivers for Kansas City weren't used to seeing the ball that quickly. How many times did they get a hand on a pass at the line? How many times did we see Pat Mahomes get hit as he was throwing the football? How are we complaining that the Houston Texans, who had a great defensive performance yesterday, only had two sacks against Pat Mahomes? Come on.
That feels like a box score watch.
Come on.
To me, right?
It has to be.
Because I don't know how you watched that game last night and think they didn't cause chaos for Patrick Mahomes this entire game. They had 8 quarterback hits. They had 7 pass deflections in this game. He was running for his life a majority of the game, as you said. They're quick pass nonstop, and he still completed less than 50% of his passes. And they're using the quick game the whole time. The defensive line, even if they didn't get to him, their impact on the game was so clear from start to finish. There's no complaints about this defensive line.
So weird. Such a weird complaint to have, I thought.
Yes.
And the only touchdown that Kansas City scored should have been stuffed at the goal line. They shouldn't have scored a touchdown at all. Danielle Hunter had his arms around Kareem Hunt and missed the tackle. He makes that play 9 times out of 10.
Mm-hmm.
Makes that. It was a fluke that Kansas City scored their only touchdown yesterday. I thought Jalen Petrie was very good. I was very critical of the contract. I didn't think he was worth top nickel corner money. I'll walk that one back. Jalen Petrie has been fantastic. He has been awesome. That hit he had on Rashee Rice yesterday was nasty.
Nasty.
Should have been penalty?
No.
Yeah, I don't think so either.
I think, okay. There's two.
I don't think the guardian cap helps him in that instance.
No,
though.
there are.
It's a bigger. There's more range there for helmet to helmet contact when you're wearing that big Astrodome on your head.
Yeah, but see, I feel like now it's a different camera angle, so I guess you can't see the head. But like from behind, it looks like it's just shoulder into chest. To me, it's perfectly clean, and frankly, it looked as bad as it was because it was the giant. It was a giant flop.
No, he didn't flop.
He stood up pretty quickly, and he flopped on the ground like he died.
What do you mean he flopped? No, he didn't flop. He got destroyed.
No, but like I feel like the way like he was on the ground for way too long for how quickly he got up. I think the flop was after the hit.
You think he was trying to sell it?
Yeah, he was selling it. So it was a bad sell. Maybe not a flop.
I thought in the moment, and I was annoyed that they didn't show a replay, that it was a football move and should have been a fumble.
Mm.
But watching it back closely, you can see a bit of a bobble. I don't think he ever had possession.
But he lit him up. He's been much better this year.
Very good.
I don't think there should be any regret about criticizing contracts for Jalen Petrie. I don't think he has played to a different level this year, whether it's in the system, being healthy, the guys around him helping him. Jalen Petrie is a much better football player in 2025 than he has been before this at any point. He is now playing into that contract, I think, very clearly right now.
His coverage, which has always been something that I've been critical of, has not been an issue.
No.
That has not been an issue this year. And, in fact, he's been good in coverage. Look at the interception yesterday. I like how they moved him back to being a safety when they went 4-3. They didn't do that a lot, but when they went 4-3, he was the safety. Miles Bryant was the nickel over Jalen Mills. I was kind of curious who that would be because whenever they had that option earlier, we saw Jalen Mills play a decent amount, and they signed him to the active roster. They put him on the 53. So I was wondering who would play that safety opposite of Bullock whenever they were in nickel. I knew that it wasn't going to be Jalen Petrie. I knew who was going to be the nickel in nickel. But I wouldn't say I was surprised. It was more of a wonder. Like, I wonder what they're going to do at safety, especially after Jalen Mills was signed to the 53-man. But that was fine. Defense was good. Tommy, how do you say his last name? Tommy Tagoi. Tagoi. Tagoji. Tagoji. I don't know.
Togia?
He's my favorite Uso. Tommy. Tommy is.
Like him.
He was fantastic yesterday. 10 tackles.
Where the hell did this guy come from?
It was a great. Nick Caserio picked him up last year, late this season.
This is where he can evaluate the hell out of a defensive line. Offensive line? Eh. Defensive line? Absolutely.
I mean, he might be getting help from D'Amico. Who knows?
Yeah, but this guy he's a monster.
Tommy Uso.
Yeah.
Like that guy, man.
Big fan.
Especially whenever you had the injury to Tim Settle. Like here you go. Are you upgrading there? I don't think you're upgrading there because I think you'd play more. But he's done a great job. He's done a great job all year, really, and then fantastic yesterday. Tommy Uso.
He was very impressive, and you're right. Maybe it's not an upgrade, but he sure as hell didn't miss Tim Settle yesterday.
No, they didn't at all.
No, this guy was perfectly fine, if not fantastic.
Tommy Uso. He's my favorite Uso. All right, 713-780-3776. Let's go out to the HRMP listener line. Julian, you're in with Jeremy and Joe. What's up, Julian?
what it is, Jive Turkey. Before you you kick me off, hear me out. There's two things.
I should have already kicked you off. One, I let you slide. That's your warning.
So one, C.J. Stroud and his lack of urgency at the end of the first half. I've seen it so many times. And last night, granted, they had a false start from the 10-second runoff, but he wasted a good 5 to 10 seconds. Like, what? Where? My boy was like, oh, that's D'Amico's fault. D'Amico's supposed to be on the field telling everybody to hurry up and get on the line? And second, Mitchell Schwartz.
Yeah, saw that.
He used to be the tackle for the he's over here crying about penalties. Dude, how can you cry about penalties when y'all get all the freaking calls? Have a good day, gentlemen.
Appreciate it, Julian. Julian finished stronger than he started.
Was doing the same thing on the broadcast last night. Just bitching about penalties. And I'm like, of all the teams we're going to do this against, like, everyone in the world knows and believes the Chiefs have benefited from more penalties. And, like, you're going to gripe the whole game, Chris?
What did you think of the whistle? Who do you think had a good whistle?
The Texans.
You think the Texans got a favorable whistle?
At times.
I thought it was pretty even.
I think so, too.
Yeah.
But the griping came about the Chiefs.
Like the I thought the Nico Collins OPI was pretty weak, mm-hmm. but I also thought that the holding on Nico Collins was pretty weak. Like the one where they're like, oh, he's holding him, he fell to the ground. Like I didn't see much holding there. A lot of people, and Andy Reid, I listened to Andy Reid's Monday Zoom. I was able to watch that one. I can watch the Kansas City Zoom. I can't watch the Houston Texans Zoom. But the Andy Reid was still complaining about that offside call on Mario Edwards. He wasn't offside.
Yeah.
He was not offside. Like, you go to the time of snap, and he is still not even in the neutral zone. So I thought that was, like, they were griping about that one, and it wasn't appropriate. I thought it was a pretty decently officiated game.
Yeah, I thought so, too.
I didn't think either team had a favorable whistle. The Petrie one maybe was a little borderline. I thought it was clean. The replay of it, maybe there's a little bit of helmet-to-helmet, but, like, I mean, most of it's in the sweet spot, and he's wearing the Astrodome on his helmet. Does he get a little bit of a grace for that? But I thought the whistle was fine. I saw the discourse, too, with Chris Collinsworth. You don't care for Collinsworth?
I'm fine with him, except for I thought when he was complaining about penalties.
Yeah.
And there's one specifically I can't remember in the first half that benefited the Texans, and he was just going on and on and on. Maybe it was the Nico Collins, but, like, he would not stop. And it's like, dude, like, the Chiefs have benefited from penalties for years. Like, stop griping.
Yeah, it is true.
And also, stop being a fanboy. Like, call the game down the middle.
I mostly like Collinsworth. I guess I'm in the minority here because I couldn't believe how much Chris Collinsworth. You would think that he was Joe Buck with as much hate as Chris Collinsworth was getting yesterday. I did think he was a bit hyperbolic at times. Like, that one tackle on the Jalen Knoll end around on a third down, which, what kind of play call was that? And he had that form tackle. He's like, that's the best form tackle I've seen in 10 years. Mm-hmm. It's like, really? That's the best one? That's the best form tackle you've seen? So he's a little hyperbolic, Hollins. But I generally am okay with Collinsworth. I think he does an okay job.
Yeah, he's fine.
Maybe he's glazing the Chiefs a little bit yesterday.
Yes.
But they are the Chiefs. They are the greatest team in this 10-year span, this decade.
They are.
And I'm okay with a little bit of glazing there.
That's just a lot of griping.
All right, 713-780-3776. Kaylee or Stroud? What is the issue here with this offense? We have to talk about it. We have to. They did enough to win. We're saying a lot of good things about the Texans today, but the storyline on the offense is a tale of two halves. First half, okay. We'll also get to Julian's point about that two-minute offense, but then that third quarter, oof, that was ugly. Who's to blame there, though? Is it Kaylee? Is it Stroud? Is it someone else? 713-780-3776, Jeremy and Joe, ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. I was enjoying the game yesterday with a little Higgins boat rum. It really makes things more enjoyable. It's fantastic. It is so good. It's rum anchored in time. Higgins boat rum, Texas bourbon drinker's rum. That's why I like it so much. It's bold. It is smooth. It uses the Prosecco craft technology that, of course, we've grown to love. Makes it smoother, enhances those natural flavors and aromas while also removing the harsh elements. You're going to love it. Try it with your Texas-inspired cocktails. Maybe I've been drinking my old-fashioned with it. I really enjoy it. Some people like to put it in their Manhattan. I'm not much of a Manhattan guy. Maybe you or her is. You try it with that. The classics. Maybe it's a little too chilly for the pina colada, Mai Tai. But how about the eggnog? It is eggnog season, and Higgins Boat Rum is fantastic in eggnog. Also, Higgins Boat Rum, steeped in history, it honors the greatest generation. Higgins Boat Rum pays tribute to our military heritage. It's named after the iconic landing craft. You might know that, that turned the tide in World War II. Higgins Boat Rum donates 10% of profits from every bottle to Camp Hope. How cool is that? It supports our veterans, so you're honoring heroes with every pour. You're honoring it with every bottle that you buy. So get your hands on some Higgins Boat Rum. Premium top shelf rum at a great price. Get your bottle now. New to the Total Wine in Baybrook. New to the Total Wine in Pearland. But you can always get it online at HigginsBoatRum.com. Ships to 48 states across the U.S. So it's a perfect gift for that cousin you're not going to see this Christmas season. HigginsBoatRum.com. Get yours now. Sip, savor, salute.
ESPN
97.5.
It's Jeremy and Joe, broadcasting live from the Huntington Bank Studios. Here's Jeremy Branham and Joe George.
He's Joe. I'm Jeremy, Huntington Bank, bad boy. Tush push, offsides, bad call. That's not the tush push in Houston. That's the Stover Dozer. I don't like the penalty on the Stover Dozer penalty. What'd you think on that?
I'm with you. I don't agree.
I didn't say anything. I didn't give my opinion.
Oh, I thought you did.
Were
you
no, text? That was the text. Oh,
I wasn't looking at you.
I thought he was lined up in the neutral zone.
Yeah.
I have no problem with that being a penalty.
I mean, it's they got to call it right at some point now.
So do you think it was a penalty or not?
No, I think it was in, I think it was a neutral zone. Like, I think it was in the neutral zone. Sorry. I was distracted.
Now, one of the Chiefs might have been in the neutral zone too, though. But maybe that takes it, like, supersedes or something. Or maybe he pulled back in time. He did kind of lean back at the snap.
I don't think it would, though. Can you have
I thought it would be
two at once?
I thought they would offset. I don't know. I'm not 100% confident on that, but I'm pretty sure that they would offset. But I did think the Kansas City defender was kind of drifting back as the snap was snapped.
I don't feel like I've ever seen that before.
Where two guys are lined up in the neutral zone?
Yeah, it's both been called.
I haven't either.
Like, I feel like they just call one on one or the other.
Yeah.
It feels like there's not a like a safe it or out at first base precedent there.
Yeah. Tie goes to the runner.
Yeah.
That's a weird question. I don't want to ask that question. CJ, he was missing easy throws. Oh, yeah. So who was more to blame for the third quarter? Was it Kaylee or CJ Stroud?
I think it's really challenging to pinpoint this, but I feel like it's Kaylee. Every single third down this season, and every single critical down, the play gets in late. They are at the line of scrimmage as it's winding down.
How do you know that? How do you know when CJ Stroud's getting the play?
No, that's what I'm saying. I don't know exactly who. It just feels like it's always late in some capacity. Like, whether it's the play call to CJ or CJ getting to the line or in that late game situation at the end of the first half where there's too much time running off the clock. It seems flawed from beginning to end. And until someone takes like responsibility for this, I feel like it's hard to directly acknowledge. Now, D'Amico did say, I know you couldn't hear it.
No, I didn't. I did read these tweets, though.
Yeah, acknowledge you have to get the play in quicker on third down.
You said we need to be more urgent.
Yeah. So, again, I don't know if that's Kaylee or Stroud. You have a lean here? Low S2?
I'm not going to go low S2, but I do think that the quarterback has command of the offense and should have urgency. Plus, what do we know about the comms? What do we know about the comms?
They cut off at 15 seconds.
Okay. So the last 15 seconds are CJ Stroud. So yeah, if the play's getting in late, the play's not getting the latest the play can get in is with 15 seconds left on the play clock.
Yeah.
That's enough time for a quarterback to get his team to the line and execute the snap. I'm sorry, but it is.
No, you're right.
It goes to look. We started the question was who's more to blame for the third quarter offense, Kaylee Stroud. I think there's a combination of both. I would put 80% on Kaylee, maybe 90%. I hated the play calls that were being drawn up. We talked about this last week. Like, what do you know about Spags? What he's going to do defensively? He's going to light up CJ Stroud. He's going to bring that house. I went back and watched the divisional round game last year between the Chiefs and the Texans. You know what they did in the third quarter? They blitzed Stroud like on 8 or 9 consecutive plays. Mm-hmm. So everybody and their mama knew that Kansas City and Spags were going to blitz CJ Stroud. So I would think that an offensive coordinator is going to have a plan on how to counter the blitz. Is that crazy of me? Is that me being too complicated? Where I think that an offensive coordinator should have a counterpunch for a blitz in which everybody knows is coming. Mm-hmm. I don't think Kaylee had a counterpunch for the blitz. Like, what's the first thing that you think in your rudimentary football mind? Not saying just you, my football mind rudimentary as well. All the junkies' football minds mostly rudimentary. How about a little screen? A little screen every now and then.
They ran
one in the second quarter, and it was not executed well, so maybe this is what took them out of it. But if I have a team blitzing me every single passing play, like you, kind of predictable passing play, depending on down and distance, I'm throwing a couple screens out there. A couple. Or how about short game? Like, and it's hard to tell on the TV copy, and I'm eager to watch the All 22, but there are a couple of times whenever they would show the replay, you could see the routes. Like, long developing routes that are deep downfield when you know Spags is bringing seven. Mm-hmm. So I don't think that Kaylee had a very good answer to the inevitable Kansas City blitz that we all knew was coming. And I give him most of the blame for that third quarter offense that completely stalled out.
Yeah, I still think collectively it hasn't improved from, I think really in every, you know, facet of this offense hasn't really improved from week one in terms of, like, the operation of the offense. You know, there was one play in the second quarter where Trent Brown gets called for a false start, but it would have been an illegal formation anyways because you or two guys moving in motion at the same time.
That was embarrassingly bad.
Yeah.
Like that is peewee football embarrassing. Yeah. Like, if offensive coaches that watch that on film are going to be embarrassed by that.
Now, I disagree with the Jalen Knoll one. I felt like he was set enough. But CJ could have given him another half second, and then the touchdown would have counted. But like that one was much closer, right?
That was pretty close.
But the other one, it's two guys moving in motion at one time. It was embarrassing. It's not the first time we've seen that this year.
So that's why, snap!
Yeah, and that's why all of it, like from the play getting in to the play getting called to being lined up correctly to guys moving in motion, that has not got cleaned up at all. And I don't know if there's not enough reps happening in practice, like what they're doing on a day-to-day basis, but there has been no improvement. And that's why I think when you talk about how good this defense is, you still can't ignore that the offense, it just can't stop shooting themselves in the foot.
See,
like little things.
Look, a lot of that's going to fall on Kaylee. At the same time, the quarterback is the maestro of the offense.
100%.
You're the conductor, man. Like, that's on the quarterback. Some. I'm not saying all of it. Most of it falls on Kaylee. In the third quarter, I think, was all mostly like 80% on Kaylee, maybe even 90% on Kaylee. But you can't ignore some of the deficiencies that we see from C.J. Stroud. And I think people and fans especially don't want to have that conversation because C.J. Stroud's like their guy. He's mm-hmm. their quarterback. Like Terrell Owens, like, that's my quarterback. And they don't want to be a harsh critic to C.J. Stroud. I'm no longer going to do that. Like, he's now in his third year. He's a good quarterback in the NFL. I think he has top five potential in the NFL. I'm going to start grading him on that standard. It's how my perspective last year with the Rockets. Like when the Rockets had Silas, who cares? Like who cares what they were doing? You're playing for ping pong balls and lottery picks. Same thing with David Culley and Lovie Smith. Mm-hmm. Who cares? Who cares what that operation looks like? You're not going to be any good. You're hoping you're losing games anyways. That way you can land high draft picks. It was hard for me to get that upset when they were making procedural mistakes when Rex Burkhead was the running back. Sorry, I can't take you that seriously. But C.J. Stroud has shown that he is capable of being a really good quarterback. Did it his rookie year. Has shown flashes last year, this year. The Texans are very good. People are calling him the most dangerous team in the AFC, the team that they fear the most in the AFC. Well, if that's going to be true, this offense has to improve. This mm-hmm. offense has to get better. And a quarterback can lift his offense. A quarterback can help his offense. So I'm going to start to have high standards on C.J. Stroud because I love C.J. Stroud so much, because I have confidence in C.J. Stroud so much, because I love the potential of C.J. Stroud so much, I'm going to begin having high standards for C.J. Stroud. I'm going to begin to grade him like he's a top five, top 10 quarterback in the NFL potentially, and the things that he needs to do to be there. And I'll start doing that a little bit on the other side. We'll get to Miko Ryan's, his thoughts on it as well, what he thought he saw from C.J. Stroud. We'll get your thoughts. Third quarter yesterday, Kaylee Stroud, who's to blame? 713-780-3776. It's Jeremy and Joe. ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 97.9 HD2. Mike Cawley, U of H class of 1990, go Cougars. He's been protecting the interests of businesses for nearly 25 years. HRMP provides comprehensive human capital management services, including HR compliance, benefits administration, payroll. HRMP is going to work with you to customize a plan for whatever you need. There's nothing cookie cutter about HRMP. You need a little help, a lot of help, anything in between. HRMP is going to create a plan for what you and your business needs. Their customer service, second to none. You'll never talk to a stranger on the other side of the line. Be calling someone that's familiar with you, familiar with your company. I can attest to that customer service. Anytime I have a question, quick response, very easy to understand. Thankful we use HRMP here at Gal. So let HRMP take on the demands of human resources. Eliminate your HR burdens so you can get back to growing your business. Maybe it's a little Christmas present for yourself this holiday season. Give them a call at 281-880-6525. Let HRMP customize a plan for you. 281-880-6525 or check them out at hrp.net. That's hrp.net.
ESPN 97.5.
Duggar.
You're listening to Jeremy and Joe, live from the Huntington Bank Studios. Here's Jeremy Branham and Joe George.
He's Joe. I'm Jeremy. AJ in for Brian, as you can tell. You can tell that. I'm just saying that Brian's not cool enough to play this type of music. 713-780-3776.
That's true.
D'Amico Ryans asked, and if he does play it, he probably asked AJ, hey, what's some cool music I play for the boys? And then he'll play it because AJ suggested it. But here was D'Amico Ryans after the game yesterday, because I wasn't allowed into the Zoom press conference of D'Amico Ryans today. I was left in the waiting room, so I have no idea what he said. I can only read the tweets, and we'll see if they post it on their YouTube. I doubt it. They usually don't. Anyways, here was D'Amico yesterday after the game about C.J. Stroud.
Yeah, CJ made a lot of nice plays for us throughout this game. I'm proud of the way he led for us. And no matter how it looked, like he led, he put us in a good spot to make some plays for us. Got the pass there to Woody, you know, throwing the ball up to Nico. So he made a lot of good plays for us.
There you go. A lot of good plays for them, which I don't disagree with. So let's start with the two-minute offense that Julian brought up. Let's start there. And again, if we're comparing C.J. Stroud, like how good does C.J. Stroud need to be for the Houston Texans to reach their ultimate goal of winning the Super Bowl? Like top what in the NFL?
12.
Okay, that's fine. I'm not going to push back. I might say top 10, top 12, whatever. Not worth the argument. He has to improve in certain areas to play like a top 12 quarterback in the NFL. And look, I think we all think he has the potential of being better than a top 12 quarterback in the NFL, but maybe doesn't have the production of a top 12 quarterback in the NFL. But let's just, okay, he's got to be a top 12 quarterback in the NFL. How many of top 12 quarterbacks in the NFL run the two-minute offense as poorly as he does?
Oh, he's the worst.
Like, you could go back to even 2 weeks ago, and you're talking about, like, all the time wasted between the first and second play of that drive. And a lot of people were blasting Nick Caley for it. I get it. He's the head of the operation. He's the CEO of offense. Like, I get all of that. But how many times do you see a really good quarterback in the two-minute offense take control of the operation, hustling everybody to the line, getting everybody situated, having a little bit of urgency? We saw Pat Mahomes play yesterday. Pat Mahomes in a two-minute offense, what does that look like? And maybe that's unfair because he's the best quarterback, one of the top three quarterbacks of all time. But look at Pat Mahomes control a two-minute offense. It is a thing of beauty. No wasted time. Knows when to kill the ball. Knows when to take timeouts. Unbelievable elite time management. C.J. Stroud isn't even on the same planet with Pat Mahomes orchestrating a two-minute offense. And again, we're holding C.J. Stroud to a high bar because the Texans need a quarterback that plays at a high level so they can lift the offense. You try to be somewhere near this defense to really have a chance in the postseason. I do think that C.J. Stroud has some – it deserves some blame when we talk about the two-minute offense. I think he deserves some blame when we're talking about getting to the line of scrimmage and the play clock isn't running down. Mm-hmm. The Texans had to take a timeout yesterday out of a timeout because they couldn't get the playoff in time. C.J. Stroud is sending guys in motion with 2 or 3 seconds left on the play clock. You're not going to get the playoff. There should have been a delay of game last week. Against, well, it might have been the Buffalo game. that was a critical play in the game that they didn't call. Mm-hmm. So C.J. Stroud's timing isn't very good. His procedural stuff isn't very good. He's not helping the rest of his teammates get where they need to be when they go in motion. He's not waiting the appropriate amount of time when he has multiple guys shifting in motion. There's a lot of procedural stuff and operational stuff that C.J. Stroud drastically needs to improve if he wants to fulfill his top 10 potential.
Yeah, I think it's why, for me, what we're seeing with this procedure and everything, with what the offense is working, it's why he's not a top 10 quarterback and why he's got a ways to go. Jeremy, I watched Shedeur Sanders yesterday watch operate a two-minute offense better than CJ Stroud.
I didn't watch that game, but that's fascinating.
But, like, they got down there and they scored against the Titans. And if you even just look at the box score, like, they're running plays within 8 to 15 seconds after completion, after rush. Like, they're getting to the line of scrimmage and they're moving up. And the Texans can't do that.
It's on a quarterback.
It's on, like, and that's why I think it still has to be on your offensive coordinator a little bit too. But, like, it's mostly a quarterback thing. And frankly, I don't think we can give D'Amico a pass here either. You're the head coach, man. Like, figure it out. But he
if you don't have a player that can, like, what do you do?
I know. But, like, then he's not worth $30 million, let alone that's, 60.
It's definitely a different conversation, but worth the conversation.
But he
I'm sure he'll have it this week.
Like, he has to operate the offense better. And I wish it was a one-game problem, but it's not. And now I really feel like I don't want to do all this work, but maybe we have to. Maybe we have to go back through everything so far, and maybe, like, we're forgetting about what operation was like last year and the year before, because it feels like it's gotten dramatically worse. But maybe that's not true. Maybe it's always been like this.
I mean, he had the Tampa Bay game, though, his rookie year, where he like, let him right down the field.
Yeah, I mean, he had a couple games like
but
that.
But I'd like to go back and see it, like, if it was just, like, pass complete, timeout, somebody calling on the sideline.
And someone got out of bounds.
Yeah. Like, if you see them, you see the really good quarterbacks of the position, right, that they are just orchestrating the two-minute offense to a T. Like, a lot of times, offensive coordinators will, like, stay out of it, other than maybe a play, like a play call, because the quarterback is so good at it. Like, hey, you got the keys, man. Two-minute offense, this is you. Timeouts, when you're throwing it out of bounds, like, maybe even the play. Like, we're going to put it all on your plate, and you guide us down the field. The Texans 2 weeks in a row have looked like failures in the two-minute offense, and I think we're spending too much time blaming Kaylee. Yes, he deserves blame, and we're putting zero blame on C.J. Stroud because he's everybody's favorite quarterback.
Yeah.
The quarterback deserves blame on the execution of a two-minute offense.
Yeah, if you did like a pie chart, it's heavy, CJ.
I think so.
But like, because it's not,
at least heavier than what the perception of it is.
Yes, but like it's just not good enough. Like it's not improving. They're not taking any steps forward in that. And while it didn't bite them yesterday, it is what built, you know, it bit them earlier in the season. And it just has to be better. And now, and with this defense, I think it raises the conversation about this, because this defense can win you a Super Bowl this year.
Mm-hmm.
And
that's the thing. Like, but I'm holding him to a high bar.
Yes. But like, if CJ can't execute, and because like there's throws he missed that I would like to see him make, but like that to me is not the priority. It's in critical situations the Texans fall short. And that's not going to work in the playoffs. It's just not.
713-780-3776. Let's go out to the HRMP listener line. Big Mac, you're in with Jeremy and Joe. What's up, Big Mac?
Hey, how you guys doing, man? I just want to say that I think you got a lot of blurred lines. And what I mean by that when I say blurred lines is the fact that a lot of times with this organization, you don't know who's directly responsible for what. Now, I don't have the capability of looking at the All-22. But I was looking at Andrews, and I saw how Chris Jones just lined up by him, ran right by him. Andrews didn't even get a hand on him, and he got a clean look.
Yep.
If you don't think that CJ is competent enough to call all the protections, I thought when he had Patterson under center, I thought Patterson was helping him call the protections. And I could be wrong, but my thing is, when you go to the line of scrimmage, if you call a play, me being a player, I'm supposed to know where I'm supposed to line up. Yeah, you could say the quarterback can help get me in position if he recognized that I lined up in the wrong spot. But it's my responsibility to know where to line up. It's my responsibility whether I'm supposed to cover the tight end or not cover him, or cover the tackle or not. I'm supposed to know how to do that.
Yeah.
Now, you have to get to the huddle in the appropriate time, so that you can run the play. So that means the play need to. You don't know how slow the play is coming into the huddle. bump from the OC, but then he has to get everybody on the line of scrimmage, have to get them lined up, you know, so that they don't have a delay of game, and it has to operate smoothly. But we don't even get to see them in practice. I'm sure whoever sees them in practice know who's out of line a lot of time or who's messing up. And also, like the screenplay, you would say, well, man, you would call a screenplay. I don't even see anybody on the sideline, you know, as making the motion to hurry up. Or, you know, sometimes you see the head coaches, they like spinning their fingers or rolling around.
Yeah.
And the person like, hurry up, hurry up, snap the ball, snap the ball. I don't never see that type of energy coming from the sideline, you know. So, and what the guy is capable of doing and what he's not doing, you know, I know this is second week coming back, and I know everything looks smooth under Davis Mills a lot of the time, because it's a lot of the things that he know that he can't do. So he's going to keep everything vanilla. He's going to make the small plays that he can. He's not going to try. And we know that CJ really would like to make the big play, but he tries to, you know, keep everything underneath. He's trying to do what the defense dictates. But when them guys pin their ears back and come at you like that, and they get success every time, every time, every time. Hell, if the quarterback is not capable of making an adjustment, then what's wrong with calling a timeout now and saying, hey, man, hey, y'all come over here, look, man, this is what we're going to do. You know what I'm saying? Or at least in between one of them third and outs that y'all sitting on the sideline, hey, man, well, look, this is protection we call, man. We can't do nothing about it, man. What do you think we ought to do?
Yep.
You know, should we do this here? Should we do that there? Should we just start running the ball straight into the teeth of the blitz? You know what I'm saying? Because as a collective, you got a quarterback coach, you got a senior offensive staff person, you got a OC coordinator, you got different positions, even if they notice that, hey, man, every time you do this here, like the tight end, hell, if they all blitzing, shouldn't he be open?
Yeah, good point, Big Mac. You know I think you're right. We're up against it. We got to get to break. We're going to hit your concerns and some of your points on the other side. I think Big Mac made some good points. I got a little bit of pushback to it. Stroud, Kaylee, third quarter blame, your thoughts on Stroud's performance yesterday. Look, I wrote down a lot of great plays that C.J. Stroud had yesterday. I have as many great plays as bad plays, and I'll point them out to you. I got receipts. You know I do. 713-780-3776, Jeremy and Joe, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5.
ESPN 97.5.